Good morning again, everyone. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can come here on this Palm Sunday and celebrate who you are and what you've done. I just pray, Lord, now that as we spend time in your word, that it's helpful for us, that it's encouraging and inspiring to us to live a life that's more pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so can you lower this just a little bit or up here? Thanks. Okay, so we're in our series called The Effects of Righteousness. And, you know, we planned this series because we're heading into Easter. In the beginning of the year, we talked about the effects of sin. So now we're looking at the effects of righteousness. So this week, we're going to focus in on the benefits of righteous living. So we're in this series to like investigate these things. So last week we ended our study with how a person actually becomes righteous. How a person actually becomes righteous. And that scripture that we ended off with last week was 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So really, this is the heart of the gospel. The righteous, Christ, dying for the unrighteous, us. The scriptures teach this, that all who have faith in Jesus, all who put their trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for their sins, that Jesus Christ rose from the grave to prove that he is God, all who believe that will have eternal life. In other words, all who believe that will be saved. That's how we become righteous. It's not our own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. Okay, so with the assumption that you've trusted in Jesus, what I want to do is I want to look at four benefits that we have as believers of being obedient to God in everyday life. Or in other words, the benefits of living righteously. Now remember, living righteously does not guarantee you salvation. Okay? Jesus guarantees you salvation. Living righteously is a response. Okay, it's a response of obedience to Jesus. So the first benefit of living righteously is this. Living righteously proves our faith. 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Now, this works kind of in two ways. First, in our favor, when it comes to our identity before other people. Our identity before other people. Now, this is not teaching that anyone that does good works is a believer, but it is reminding us that when we do good works, people see there is something different about us. So when we do good works, people see something is different about us. We are the type of people that have a desire to do good. And when we do good, it kind of shows others our faith. Now James says it this way in James 2:18, I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by my works. The second way this works is when we have doubts. Okay, when we have doubts, sometimes people doubt their faith, right? People doubt their faith. Maybe you've doubted your faith. Something happened, it made you question God, made you question your faith in him, or maybe even you doubt that you're a Christian. Maybe you've done something and you're like, Christians don't do stuff like this, or Christians, followers of Christ, shouldn't do stuff like this. Why am I doing stuff like this? Am I even a Christian? Well, the first thing I want to do is this. I want to remind you that when you trust in Jesus, you are what we call eternally secure, meaning you can't lose the salvation that Jesus gave you. Okay, you cannot lose that. Remember that. You cannot lose. If you are a Christian, you cannot lose that. If somebody says to you, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not anymore, my question for them would be, did you truly understand what you believed? Did you truly trust in Christ? So we know that from the scriptures in like John 10 and Ephesians 4:30 that we are sealed for the day of redemption. So that is what the scripture teaches, but John is reminding us on a practical and experiential note. When you desire to do good, here's what happens. When you desire to do good and actually do good, it is a reminder that you have been made righteous, that you belong to God, okay? So when you have these desires of doing good, you know how you have those desires? I sure hope you do, right? So when you have these desires to do good, or you have the feeling of guilt when you don't do good, or when you do the wrong things, that's actually an internal reminder. The Holy Spirit reminding you, you're a believer. You are God's child. Shouldn't you be living a different way? It's kind of like the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So that's another way this works, our good works and the desire to do good works. So living righteously proves the faith of others as well. Look at what 1 John says here. 1 John 3:7. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he, talking about Jesus, is righteous. Now, let me just tell you, there's a ton of false teaching out there. And obviously the best way to combat false teaching is truth, okay? True teaching. But one way that we can identify deception is unrighteousness. Meaning, maybe someone seems like they are teaching the things of God. Then when we start to get to know them, and we start to see that they have ulterior motives or impure motives, we start to get tipped off, don't we? We see this in a lot of cults. If you ever watch like documentaries on like cults and different things like that, they're all over like streaming services. It's always kind of the same rhythm, okay? It's always the same. It's like they might believe different things, but it's always money, power, control, prestige. It's self-centered, right? There's a cult leader or leaders that are self-centered, and it's rooted in self-glorification. So they might start off good. Oh, they're so nice. They do so many nice things. They take care of us. They accept us, right? But there is an ulterior motive. There is a root of self-glorification and pride, and it really is pitted in lies. This is unrighteous, and by that we can see and identify deception because now we see those motives, so it forces us to check out the teaching. Now remember, John wrote this, right? This is like not too long after Christ rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. So false teaching already kind of manifested itself in that day and age. So think about it. Here we are over 2,000 years later. How many more things can kind of manifest, can come up? Think about this. When you hear somebody say, I have something new to teach you, that's your first context clue. There's nothing new, okay? We believe in an ancient faith. In fact, when we look at Christ and what he's done, and we look at how it all connects to the Old Testament and all the prophecies that are fulfilled through Christ, we realize it's not like Old Testament's one religion and New Testament's a new one, okay? That's not how it works. It's all together, bound together, and Christ is the center of that. So now on the heels of righteousness, righteous living, proving our faith, righteous living does something else. Righteous living is a good testimony. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the righteous is like the dawn, which shines even brighter till the full light of day. In this proverb, we learn that living righteously is a good testimony to the people around us. The idea here is righteous deeds shine. In other words, people notice when we do the right thing. People notice when we do the right thing. This is something that Jesus tells his followers. Some of you remember this passage. It says, you are the light. Jesus talking to his followers says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, the purpose of light is obviously not to be hidden. In fact, the purpose of light is so that we can see clearly. So when it comes to good deeds, our works of righteousness as believers, we can use these deeds so people can see who we believe in. We can use our good deeds so people can see who we believe in. Notice, it is not so they can see us, it's so they can see God. Henry David Thoreau said, "If you would convince a man that he does wrong, do right. But do not care to convince him. Men will believe what they see. Let them see." So the way that we live each day, the righteous things that we do can be a testimony. And I'm not saying you don't talk to them about the Lord, but many times we need to start with how we live. Now, one of the best ways we can talk to people about the Lord is by doing good. Why? Well, because most people realize that doing the right thing is normally harder than doing the wrong thing. So right there, people are tipped off, like, oh, this guy or gal, they're doing the right thing when everybody else is doing the wrong thing. So it starts kind of their wheels turning. They start thinking. So when you do good, people will see, and many times they might also say something like, oh, that was great. That was amazing. Thank you so much. Now that's kind of par for the course. Like when you're doing good, people might thank you or praise you. And basically, we have an opportunity now. An opportunity to give glory to God. Now, as a believer, we can't get caught up in taking the glory for ourselves. I want to warn you. This becomes difficult because naturally, when we do good, people will share kind words and encouragement. And maybe you're like me, but saying things like, all the glory goes to God, is not very natural to you, right? Maybe you feel like, oh, I don't want to be like that, like, ultra-spiritual person. So what do we say if someone notices the good we do and says something? What do we say? I mean, you could say all the glory goes to God if that's very natural for you. Some of you, that wouldn't be natural for you. So I think the best thing to say is something like, thanks. That means a lot. From this point, right, you maybe have an opportunity for a gospel-centered conversation. It might not be right at that point. Like, we can't look at witnessing and telling other people about the Lord as like, okay, I got one chance, and I got to fire hose them. Like, I'm doing a good thing. You see me? You see me doing the good thing? Okay, because of Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, life doesn't work like that, right? We realize that our testimony, our life, will start to speak to people. And then when they have questions, when they're going through something, when the time is right, when the opportunity is there, we know that we've lived a life that's pleasing to the Lord, that's maybe been a good testimony to the people around us, and now we have an opportunity. At the end of the day, you know you did the right thing before the Lord, and when the opportunity for the gospel-centered conversation comes up, there's consistency with your walk and with your talk. It's basically what it comes down to. And I obviously know that, you know, this could be anyone's last day that you talk to, but I also do believe that God is faithful, and if there's an opportunity for you and I to talk to someone, he'll present it there. And the Holy Spirit will nudge you to start speaking the truth. So Jesus reminds us, people will know us by our fruit. People will know us by the good that comes out of our lives. Now next, living righteously encourages good relationships. Living righteously encourages good relationships. Isaiah 32:17 says, "And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." Now, problems with other people are inevitable in life, okay? I don't even want you to raise your hand if you've had relational problems, because it's probably everybody here. We've all had relational problems. In other words, what happens is this. Anytime there's sin or unrighteousness, there's going to be a problem. When people do the right thing in their relationships with others, most of the time, there is peace in a relationship. Think about this. Think about any relational issue you've had in the past. And I know I said this when we talked about the effects of sin. It either had to do with your sin, their sin, or both. Right? That's relational problems. I mean, summed up, sinning against other people. So notice that this verse says, the effects of righteousness will be peace. So basically, if we want to have peace with people around us, making righteous decisions and doing righteous things is going to be our contribution. Okay? That's the way it works. This is my contribution. I'm going to do the right thing. You did the wrong thing to me, I'm going to do the right thing. A warning, right? It's difficult to have peace if they do not reciprocate. And some of you here today, and I know this is true because some of you have told me, you have fractured relationships with people around you, and most of it lies on how they've treated you. Most of it lies on how they've treated you. You've tried to do the right thing, but unfortunately, they kept doing the wrong thing. My encouragement to you through the scriptures is Romans 12:18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, but live peaceably with all. You do your part. That's what you're accountable for. The effect of righteousness will be peace. Okay, so you do your part, and guess what? If they don't do their part, at least you can stand back and before the Lord, you can say, you know what, Lord, doing everything that you've called me to do. Unfortunately, they're continuing that way. Then the passage says the result of righteousness is quietness. This is probably a reference to no turmoil, okay? Quiet. Like, you know when you have those quiet times in life, like everything seems to be good, right? You're like, yes. And then you see that person. You're like, oh, no. So it's probably a reference to no turmoil. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Paul says, live a quiet life minding your own affairs. Wow. That's hard to do, right? Especially when everybody takes their affairs and puts them out in public on their social media, then you're like, that dummy, like, what are they doing, right? You're looking at their stuff. And so they're making it hard for you to mind your own affairs. But the scriptures actually say, mind your own affairs. Live a quiet life. This flies in the face of culture because culture says, be loud. Right? Tell everybody what you're doing. Let them all know. Imagine, especially some of you who are really kind of chained to social media, imagine doing something and not posting it. Could you imagine that? Some of you live there. Some of you are like, yeah, I can imagine that. I intentionally don't post things because I don't want people to know what I'm doing. See, when we pay attention to what we need to do, and how we need to live, there's not much room to cause problems for others. Think about this. Pay attention to yourself. Many times in life, we end up having problems because we're not quiet. We're outspoken, and we need to keep quiet. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble, right? They need to hear this. Did they? Okay. Or from you? So sometimes we're a little too outspoken. We need to keep quiet. Sometimes we share our opinion when no one asked. Do you imagine that, right? That happens all the time. People share their opinions and no one asked. And sometimes we pipe up and say something when we shouldn't say anything. Think about this. Think about your life. Are you living a quiet life, minding your own affairs? Then the passage says, the result of righteousness is trust forever. Now, this could be a reference to when we trust in the righteous one, Jesus, that lasts forever, for eternity, right? But relationally speaking, when we live righteously, people trust us. Basically what happens. When you live righteously, people will trust you. You and I both know that there are people that we trust and people that we don't. And what do we base that on? What they do, right? What they do. As soon as someone does the wrong thing, we second guess trusting them, and it will take a while for them to build that trust back. And here's what happens. It takes a while for the person to build the trust back. It takes a while for you, right, to trust them again. It takes a while. They're not happy with the while. So what happens? Conflict. Conflict. They're not seeing, you know what? I broke trust. It's going to take some time. You're seeing they broke trust. I want to trust them again, but I have a hard time doing that because you burnt me really bad. And now I'm having a difficult time. And I'm not suggesting that you never trust that person again. I'm not suggesting that at all. But building trust back up takes time. But when we do righteous things, when we do good, people trust us. And the more good we do, the more people see. That's the type of person this is. I mean, it is sad and it is difficult that you can live a life of integrity and make one dumb move and blow it. It's sad, but that's the way people look at us. So what the scriptures say is, listen, you know, strive for righteousness. I mean, my prayer for myself is always this. I want to finish well, okay? I want to die knowing that I follow the Lord. And you know what? My reputation matters because it matters to the Lord, okay? My reputation matters because I want to give God the glory. I don't want anybody to ever say, oh, that guy, he used to get up there and preach, but this is the way he was. I want people to see and say, like, okay, you know what? The guy practiced what he preaches. No one's perfect, but at least he was giving it a shot. At least he was trying. So we should all have that prayer for ourselves, shouldn't we? And guess who doesn't want us to live like that? Satan and his demons, okay? And there might be other people too. But finally, living righteous will reap rewards. Isaiah 33, 15 through 17 says, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, that shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the strongholds of the rocks. His bread will be given to him, and his water will be sure. Now, this gives us a description of what righteous living looks like. Speech is upright. What we say is upright. Doesn't get involved in dishonest gain. Doesn't listen or look at evil things. This gets pretty convicting, right? Because we have the world at our fingertips, don't we? We have the world at our fingertips. We have our devices, our streaming services and stuff. Do we listen and look at evil things? The idea here, though, is this. The reward is protection. Staying away from evil protects us. And in this specific passage, Isaiah is using the imagery of defense against enemies and needs being met. The message for us today is this. When we choose right over wrong, there may be times that we're fearful. We think we need to be dishonest to make as much money as we can to support ourselves and our family, maybe. But the truth is, God will provide when you are obedient to him. Do you want to show that you really trust God? Well, trust him, okay? He's going to provide. He's going to provide. I know that no one here is hungry. Okay. I know that no one here has needs that are not really met, basic needs. Maybe you've listened to the lies of the enemy, the devil, who says, if you do the right thing, you'll never get ahead in life. If you do the right thing, you won't be as successful as you want to be. If you do the right thing, you might not have that same job. If you do the right thing, things will not go well. The truth is, when we do the right thing, God takes care of us. He protects us. For the believer, we never need to second guess a righteous decision or action. Don't ever say, this is the trap, right? You have two decisions. We've talked about decisions over the past, right? You have two decisions to make. One's righteous, one's sinful. Look at the righteous one, put all of the pros on that list, and then don't second guess. Don't say, well, let me see about this one, okay? Don't even second guess it, because that's the trap. Once you start doing the little angel demon thing on the shoulder like you see in the movies and the cartoons, right? Once you start doing that, guess what? Now, options are open. Options are open. Don't second guess the righteous action. God sees and knows, and he's gonna take care of us, and that is a reward. Second reward. Living righteously will reap rewards. Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. You know what blessed means, or blessed? We say blessed because we live in Forked River, right? So blessed is happy, okay? Happy. I think to some degree, we all want to be happy, right? To some degree, we all want to be happy. Being obedient to the Lord is the way we get there. Don't forget that. Being obedient to the Lord is the way that you get to happiness and satisfaction. In fact, a reward of righteousness is we feel a sense of happiness because we please the Lord. You do the right thing, even though it was hard, even though other people might have mocked you, even though people said, I can't believe you did that when you could have did that. When you go home and lay your head on that little pillow at night, you know, I please the Lord. And that makes me happy. That makes me satisfied. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I care what the audience of one thinks. When we feel that happiness or joy in obedience, it encourages us now to do this, to be more obedient. The theologian Matthew Henry said it this way, holy joy will be the oil to the wheels of our obedience. Think about that. Holy joy is the oil to the wheels. The more you do the right thing, the more you're like, yeah, let's do the right thing. The more you do the right thing, the more you're like, yeah, let's do the right thing. And then guess what happens? It's contagious. You surround yourself with people that are like that. It's contagious. People want to do the right thing. You ever think about who you're around? There are certain people in your life that maybe are super negative, right? What do you do when you're with those people? A lot of times you fall into a trap of being negative. Yeah, I'm going to complain too. Right? There's enough complaints out there, right? And there's enough complainers out there. But maybe you found those few positive people, those encouraging people. How's it feel to be around them? It's like oil to the machine, right? To the wheels of our obedience. The more obedient we are, the more joy we have. So we're rewarded with protection and happiness in this life, but we're also rewarded in the next life. Now, we're going to get more into this eternal rewards when we finish our study in Revelation next month. But as believers, you need to know that even though you are not saved by your righteous deeds, the Lord actually rewards the righteous deeds. Check this out in 2 Corinthians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We will all stand before Jesus when we die. For the unbeliever, they will pay for the evil that they've done. For the believer, Jesus paid, right? On that cross. He paid for the unrighteous things that we've done. So I no longer have to pay, and I'm so thankful. And you should be too, right? That you don't have to pay for the unrighteousness. But for the believer, we will be rewarded for the good deeds we have done. The teaching of the scriptures are that good deeds are really only good deeds when they're done in the Lord. Because some of you might be thinking, okay, well, if I'm not a believer and I have to pay for my sin, but it says we're going to be rewarded for the good and the bad, so maybe my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds and I'll be okay because I'll have more rewards. No, listen, for the unbeliever, your righteous deeds are actually not righteous. Listen to what Isaiah says. We have all become like the one who is unclean, and our righteous deeds are like polluted garments, dirty rags. Outside of Christ, the righteous things we do have no weight when it comes to eternity. So, of course, people may see those deeds as good, but the Lord only recognizes what is done in him when it comes to rewarding those deeds. So living righteously proves our faith, creates a good testimony, encourages good relationships, and eventually will reap rewards. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here today. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've called us to be righteous and obedient to you. I pray, Lord, for each believer here that they would be righteous, that they would make those decisions that are pleasing to you and be obedient to you. I pray for anyone who doesn't know you as their Savior. I pray that they would trust you. I pray that seeing people take that commitment of baptism would inspire them and encourage them and help them to ask questions on where they stand before you. I'm so thankful again for this day. I'm thankful for this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.